pray for them for the remaining of the service. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We pray that it would go forth at this moment. God, minister, God, send life. Minister to every heart. Thank you, Jesus.
I feel the enemy surrounding me, and if I breathe, he would come devour me. But all I gotta do is speak that name. Oh, just speak his name. There are days I feel the enemy surrounding me.
Listen.
And if I breathe, he would come devour me. But all I gotta do is speak that name. Oh, I speak his name. I say, Jesus. Something about the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's peace in the name Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Something about the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's peace in the name Jesus. Oh, Jesus. There's something about the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's peace in the name Jesus. He made the lame to walk. He caused the dumb to talk. He made the blind to see. And I don't know about you, but he made a way for me.
Oh,
when I was down and out,
deep in despair,
my Savior came and found me there.
He brought me out.
He brought me out. When I said, Jesus,
there's something about the name of Jesus.
There's healing in the name of Jesus.
Go ahead and worship him.
There's peace in the name
Jesus. Oh, Jesus. There's something about the name of Jesus.
There's healing in the name of Jesus.
There's peace in the name Jesus.
Oh, he made the lame to walk.
Caused the dumb to talk.
He made the blind to see. Oh, he made a way.
You remember when he did that?
When I was down and out,
deep in despair,
my Savior came. He found me there,
and he brought me out.
Oh, he brought me out.
Sing it with us.
There's something about the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's peace in the name Jesus. Oh, Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's victory in the name of Jesus. There's life in the name Jesus. Oh, Jesus. There's something about the name of Jesus. There's hope in the name of Jesus. There's joy in the name Jesus. Oh.
ahead and call out to him tonight.
Jesus, oh Jesus.
That name that is above every name.
I love you, Jesus.
I love you,
Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Sing that chorus one more time.
Oh, Jesus. There's something about the name of Jesus.
Just go ahead and worship him, church.
There's healing in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord, you've been good to us. Hallelujah.
In the name.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. There's something about the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
There's power in the name of Jesus. There's victory in the name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are good. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Before you're seated, shake about 5 or 10 hands. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Tell them a handshake or a 50, whichever you prefer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Pardon me here just a second. Praise be unto the Lord. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight, isn't it? I said it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight, ain't it? Amen, amen, it is. And it's especially good to be here with each and every one of you, and kind of an honor and a privilege to be here. And so thankful for, I don't get to come here as much as I'd like to, but I enjoy getting to come back and to see each and every one of you and to renew old acquaintances and to meet some new ones. And I'm so thankful for that, aren't you? Amen. I'm thankful also for the web ministry that you guys do here. I get to hear Pastor Hurst and the different ones who preach I listen to it faithfully every week. I'm out there mowing the grass, or I'm out there doing some different work, and got my earbuds in there, and I'm listening to some preaching. And you got a good preacher. I don't know if you knew that or not, but you got a good preacher. And I'm not just saying that because he walked in, but I count him as one of the best, and I do enjoy listening to him, and I'm thankful for that. Amen. Thankful for each and every one of you. Thank you for the offering, and we kind of an honor and a privilege to be here, and we're blessed. Aren't we blessed? The Lord has been good to us. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I did not tell the sound men back there. Hopefully they can, they're quick. I'm sure they can get it. The book of Psalms, chapter number 23. Amen. Psalms chapter number 23. If you have your Bibles, either in on your iPad or your iPhone or your good old-fashioned print. Amen. Psalms chapter number 23. If you'd stand for the reading of the word, praise the Lord. Psalms chapter number 23, one of the most familiar portions of Scripture, but I believe the Lord wants to speak to us out of it tonight. The inspired word of God says this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and how that it is from everlasting to everlasting, Lord, that your word is forever settled in heaven. And God, that we thank you that though it's been written centuries ago, how that it is alive and well in our hearts today, and that you desire to speak to us afresh and anew tonight. Lord, we've heard this verses and we know this chapter, but God, I believe in you to open our eyes once again and reveal to us what you'd speak to us through your word, God. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive, God. believing, Lord, that you would help us, that when we leave this place, God, we could say that we had an encounter with an almighty God who touched our hearts and our lives. And we thank you, Lord, that you do and that you care for us and that you love us. We worship you and thank you. Move in the altars for your name's sake, we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated in his house tonight. Praise the Lord. I want to preach to you for a few minutes, Lord being my helper. I want to preach to you on a table of triumph, a table of triumph. You know, as I mentioned, Psalms chapter 23 is probably the most famous chapter in all the Bible. I mean, people who aren't saved, people who don't know anything about the Bible, they know Psalms chapter 23. They can quote that, they can talk about that, and they know that portion of Scripture. And so, no other verse is so loved, and we've heard it so many times. I mean, since we were knee high to a grasshopper, we've heard that Psalms chapter 23. We've got it stitched and crocheted in all our houses. We know this verse. And so sometimes if it's not careful, when we get to Psalms chapter 23, we kind of put it on screensaver mode and we know, the Lord is my shepherd, shall not want, and making me lead down. You know, we've read it a lot, right? You've read it. But I believe that God wants to speak to us tonight about from this text. You see, in this passage, we find that God knows how to take care of us. For he says, the Lord is my shepherd. And just like a shepherd would take care of his sheep, we find out that God knows how to take care of his people. The Lord is my shepherd. There's nothing that can come against me. No bear, no lion, like a sheep would be attacked from a lion or a bear. No weapon formed against me, the Bible says, is going to prosper because I serve a God in heaven who knows how to take care of us. Aren't you thankful that we serve a God who knows how to take care? Sometimes, you know, I don't even know how to take care of myself. I don't even know how to deal with the problems that I'm facing, the situations that I'm up against. I don't know how to deal with it. I don't know how, but I know a God in heaven who knows how to protect. He knows how to help me. He knows how to take care of me. The Lord is my shepherd. From this passage, we find that God knows how to provide for us. For he says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. How many like to, I mean, it's getting fall, it's getting a little cold, and it rained today, and just to go through that green grass. That's nice, ain't it? See, I'm living in Texas now, and there ain't no green grass. And it rained today, and I ain't seen rain in a long time. And man, you may not have liked that rain today, but I enjoyed the rain. I just love the rain. I just wanted to roll down my window and just let it rain all over me because I hadn't had rain in a long time. And that's how sometimes it is in our life. Well, sometimes we go through times that are dry places. We go through some times where it feels like spiritually the grass is just crunching underneath our feet, and we can't feel the presence of God. But I'm so thankful that he does take us through those green pastures where there's times where the glory of God comes down and we can feel his presence and we can worship him and adore him because he's been so good to us. God been good to you? Tell your neighbor, God's been good to me. Not only we find he knows how to provide for us, but he knows how to calm the storms in our life. For he says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Not too long ago, I was out on a lake in a boat and all of a sudden a storm came up. How many of you have been in a boat when the storm came? Yeah, a few of you. I know there's not a lot of lakes around here, a lot of places to do that, but there's this big old lake out there near where I live called Lake Louisville, and we were out in the middle of it. I mean, we were out there fishing, we were out there, everything was good, but all of a sudden, the storm came, and we weren't worried about fishing anymore. We were worried about getting to land because the storm had came, and it was frightful. I mean, we really were worried if we were going to make it back or not, but how many times, you know, spiritually, that we go into those sometimes. We go into storms. We go into situations where you're like, Lord, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know if I'm going to make it out of this or not, but I'm so thankful every once in a while he'll calm the storm and he'll bring peace to our storm and he'll bring us peace that we needed. So we find that God knows how to lead us beside the still waters. We also find that God knows how to restore the weary soul, for he says he restoreth my soul. Sometimes we get weary from this battle that we're in. I don't know about you, but I do. Sometimes I just get weary. I mean, I'm doing everything that I know to do. I'm praying, reading my Bible, doing everything that I know is right, but even in the midst of it, I still get weary in my soul. And sometimes I just need a restoring from my Heavenly Father. Sometimes I just need a fresh touch from God. And I'm so thankful that God knows how to restore our soul. There's nothing like the restoring power of God's power. You know, if you had a car that needed to be restored, I wouldn't recommend you come to me. Because I don't know how to restore that car.
But some of you do. Some of you, you know how to take that old junker what some people wouldn't give 10 cents for, and you would know how to redo all that interior. You would know how to rebuild the engine. You would know how to make it afresh and anew. And I don't know how to mend the soul of man, but God knows how to mend the hearts and lives of his people. And sometimes, though, we just need to cry out to God, Lord, all I need is for you to restore me. Give back the joy of my salvation. I need a restoring, and I'm so thankful that God does. But we also find from this that he knows how to direct our life. For he says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. You ever been lost? You ever? Oh, come on. Some of you men need to admit that. That'd be good for you. Huh? You ever been lost? Yeah. I mean, even sometimes you take the GPS and it'll, I mean, I've had that happen. How many of you had the GPS lead you off? I mean, you look and it says, that little blue dot says you're there, and you look off and it's a cornfield. That is not where I'm supposed to be. Sometimes we get lost. And sometimes spiritually, we need leading. We need guiding. We need direction. I'm so thankful. I'm not leading my own self, that I'm not going the direction that I think is best. But if I put my trust and my hope and my confidence in God, and if I let him, he'll lead my life and he'll direct my steps. We'll find then from this passage that God will never leave us. For he says, for thou art with me. Thou art with me. What powerful words we find that no matter what I'm facing, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what I may be up against, I know that there's a God in heaven. He hasn't forgotten about me. He hasn't left me somewhere on the shelf to collect dust, but I serve a God in heaven who's with me. Not just in words, or not just pretty words on a page, but my God, he is with me. And not only with me, but he's in me. And he wants to guide and direct. And if I'll put my trust in him, he'll do that. He'll never leave me. Then we find from this passage that God will always protect us. For he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He'll always protect us. And so it's here that we come to our text that I'd like us to focus on tonight. It says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now, every time I've read this text, every time I've thought about this text and looked at it, I've always thought about it in the context of it, what it's talking about. It's talking about a table of provision, where God will give us different things, different provisions, different things that we need. And that is true, and that's what the text is talking about here. But this table is not just about provision. It's also about a triumph, a table of victory. You see, on this table, we find some things that we have been victorious over. It's not just of provision, but it's also of things that we have won, of things that we have gained. This table is a table of victory. Now, when I was growing up, my mama's here tonight, and when I was growing up, she was really proud of all the trophies that I'd won. How many have mamas that they get the trophies out and they put them somewhere where everybody could see, you know, your trophies? And, oh, look at what Timmy did, look at what Timmy did, right? We did that. So we had these trophies. And she displayed those trophies out where everybody could see the trophies that Aubrey and I had won. She'd put them out there right in front of everybody. I mean, how many had your kids won trophies at school or different things? You put them out there because you want everybody to see what your child has done, because you're proud of what they've done, right? You're proud of. Amen? I guess my mom was the only one who did that. I don't know. But she did. And so she put those trophies out there, and so she'd tell about the people come and visit. She'd tell about the different trophies and different things we'd done. You know, she's real proud of us and stuff. But this table here that the Bible's talking about, it's of provision, but it's also of victory, some things that we've won. Because you see, the Bible says it's in the midst of the enemy. The enemy is there, and that's where the table is set. It's set right in front of the enemy. Why is the table there in the enemy? It's there to show the enemy something. It's there to show the adversary that there's some things that we won. There's some victories that we've accomplished. There's some things that God has provided for us. There's some things that we have victory over. There's some things that we have reason to shout. There's some reasons that we can sing. I'm here tonight, and that's proof enough that I have victory. And so I want to show you some of these trophies. All right, a table of triumph. This first trophy I want to talk to you about is the trophy of salvation. the trophy of salvation. Aren't you thankful for salvation? Aren't you thankful that you've been saved? You've been bought with a price? I mean, those are nice words, but it's more than words. I mean, I have been redeemed. My soul was once bound for a devil's hell, but thanks be unto God who turned my life around. It wasn't anything that I'd done, but it was the mercy and the grace of an almighty God who was good to me and faithful, that when I cried out, he heard me. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm so glad that it wasn't reserved for just the rich or the wealthy or the famous or the good looking, because I sure wouldn't have got that one, or the smart, because I wouldn't have got that one either. But it's reserved for whosoever will. If I'll just call upon the name of the Lord and say, God, forgive me, he's faithful and just to forgive us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many of you have sinned since you've got saved? Let me see your hand. If you haven't, you just lied, and so you need to raise your hand. Huh. Yeah, we've all sinned since we've got saved. You know, sometimes we get this mistaken idea that once you get saved, you automatically become perfect. Huh? That's not true, right? We still have faults. We still have failures. You know, and young people, we have battles that we face, right? We have struggles that we face in school and peer pressure and different things that we're going through. And it doesn't stop it as a young person. When you get married, there's different temptations. And when you get older, there's different there's always, the enemy's always out to destroy you. He's always out to get you. And he desires to do that. But I'm so thankful that through every stage of life and everything that we face, that I can look and hold on to this trophy of salvation. If I'll cling to it, and if I'll cling to that old rugged cross, one day I'll trade this for a crown. Salvation, the trophy of salvation. How many of you sinned and you ask God to forgive you, and then you go back some period of time later and ask God to forgive you the same thing again? You ever done it? Let me see your hand. There we go. All right. Yeah. I mean, you already asked God to forgive you. Said, Lord, forgive me for this. And a couple days go by, and the devil brings it back up to you, and you're like, oh, Lord, forgive me of that. But you already asked God to forgive you. And so the devil will come against you, and he say, you know what? God really didn't forgive you for that. God really doesn't cleanse you from that. That one was too bad. God won't forgive you. And we know mentally that God does forgive us, but sometimes we need to remind the devil, hey, I've got a trophy of salvation. I've been forgiven of that. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Devil, you can't bring that up. When the devil comes against us and he brings the adversary, the enemy of our soul, he comes against us, we can remind him, bring him back to this table and say, I got a trophy of salvation. I've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. God did not come to make bad men good or to make good men better, but God came to make that which was dead alive. And I was dead in my trespasses and sin. I had no hope of making heaven my home, but thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. We've been washed by the blood of Jesus and are free from the sins of the past. And the enemy will come against us, reminding us of all that we used to be and all that we've used to done. And so we're there, and the enemy is attacking us. But we need to take him back to this table and remind him that I have been redeemed, not because of anything good that I have done, because my righteousness, the Bible says, is what? What is it? It's filthy rags. My best, the best thing that I have to offer to God is just stinky, dirty, old, nasty rags. But in Christ and through him, I can have salvation. I can have a hope of glory. I can have a hope of eternity with Jesus Christ being in his presence. And so this table of victory, showing us victory over sin. Amen. Second thing I want to show you tonight is the trophy of healing, victory over sickness. How many have had God heal you before? How many had God just come down? I mean, the doctors, they're good and they help, and they have a purpose. But you ever had just God come down and move miraculously? You knew it wasn't the medicine, it wasn't something that somebody else had done, but it was God who came down in a miraculous way and touched your body, touched your heart, touched your mind. And I'm so thankful that I've got a trophy of healing, that when the devil comes against me with new sicknesses, when he comes against me with new problems in my health or in my family or different things that that I'm facing, I can bring him back to this trophy of healing and say, no, 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 devil. I remember a time when my mother was having seizures and the doctors couldn't figure out what was going on. But I remember on a Wednesday night when God healed her and touched her body. I know that I serve a God who healeth thee. He is a God who is able to move in our lives. I remember a time, his name was Buck Howard. He had blockages in his heart, and then the doctors couldn't, they said he's going to die. They couldn't imagine how he even was alive still. And they're going in to take surgery on him, and then when they get in there, they find that he had grown an artery around his blockage. That ain't natural. You don't grow new arteries, you know, once you already been born. I mean, you got the arteries you got, right? But God, I said, but God grew him a brand new artery around the. I'm talking to you about a God who heals, and I've got some trophies. I got some things that I can look back to and say, devil, you can't get me with this. I know that my God is a God that heals. He is a God that moves in our lives. We have, right now, we have 9 people in our church who have been healed with cancer in their lives. You know God heals cancer? I said God heals. There's no sickness that is too hard for my God, because he is the maker of the body. He is the God that is in control of everything that we face. You know, many people will tell you, you know, once you become a Christian, everything's just great and glory. Everything, you're just walking on rose petals. Everything's great. Everything's good. How many find that's a lie? Come on, give me an amen there. Right? How many find that's a lie? Amen? Yeah. It ain't all good. Amen? I mean, it ain't all rose petals once you get saved. All the good, all the bad doesn't go away once you get saved. If you thought that, I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but the truth of the matter is we've got heartaches. We've got problems. We have sickness. We face distress. We face turmoil. But we have a God who is triumphant over all those things, and he is able to bring us. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, I can remind him that God is able to raise up a standard against it. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I serve a God who is triumphant, and because he is triumphant, I too can be triumphant through him. Victory over sickness. A friend of mine, he was in Tonga, and he was playing with a bottle rocket, probably not the smartest thing he's ever done. He went to light it, and it blew off in his hand. Now, this wasn't one of those little, this was commercial grade bottle rocket, blew off in his hand. He's in Tonga. The doctor's there saying, we're going to have to take his hand. It's gone. There's nothing we can do. We said, wait, hold on. Let's pray. Bring him back to the yes, and we're going to pray. And we prayed. And the doctors here still, they thought they're going to have to amputate something. They're going to have to do something to his hand. I mean, there's no way that he's ever going to have it at full capacity again. But my friend Zach Williams, right now, he's at Bible school playing the guitar, playing the drums. He's in the choir. You'll see him when he comes to the choir. God miraculously touched his hand, and he's able to do anything that he wants to with his hand, because we serve a God of miracles. We serve a God of healing. And I don't know what you're facing. I don't know the sickness that you're up against, but I want to remind you, when the enemy comes against you, take him back to the table. Remind him that I serve a God who can heal. I serve a God who is able to heal. You know, sometimes it's not just physical healing. Sometimes it's emotional. Sometimes it's financial. Sometimes it's marriage. Sometimes it's a heart that needs to be healed, wounds of the mind that needs to be healed. But how many of you know that the same God who's able to touch the body is able to touch the heart and the mind and every part of who we are? We serve a God who cares about us in every aspect of our lives, and he is able to heal to the uttermost. Amen. Trophy of salvation, victory over sin. Trophy of healing, victory over sickness. Next one I want you to notice is the trophy of peace, victory over fear. I think it was, I don't remember now who it was, somebody had to help me, but somebody, Sister Trisha it was, who was mentioning fear, how we have fear. We face fear, don't we? We face fear, and if we didn't before, I mean, in the day and hour that we live, we face fear. I mean, there's so much uncertainty. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know, I mean, if tomorrow the stock market could crash completely and everything we had could be worth nothing. I mean, and jobs aren't stable. Life isn't certain. We don't know what's going to happen, and so the enemy will come in with fear and say, you know, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to destroy your family. I'm going to destroy your finances. I'm going to destroy your life or your children's life. And so he'll begin to bombard us in our mind with fear. That's where fear is placed. It's in the mind. And that's one of the biggest battlegrounds that we face, is it's in our mind, right between my two ears. I face fear. I'm not sure what tomorrow holds, but the old songwriter says, I know who holds tomorrow. And I can't promise you that tomorrow everything's going to be okay. And I can't promise you that everything's going to be all right. But I do know one who can give us peace in the midst of the storm. I do know one who is able to calm those storms and able to, if he doesn't calm the storms, to bring us through the storms. He is able to give us peace in the midst of fear, in the midst of hopelessness. We serve a God of hope. We serve a God who is able to move in our lives. You know what the number one reason of death among your age group and my age group is? Suicide. Number one reason why my age group dies is suicide. Because there's no hope. And there's fear on every hand. But my hope is not here. My hope is not in this life. My hope is not in the stock market or in any other thing that this world puts in their hope and their trust in. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground, young people, is sinking sand. Put your trust in God. Look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I know it's bad, and I know we're facing a lot of things in our country and in our churches, but we still serve a God who is faithful and just. For with the temptation, he'll bring a way of escape. And so the enemy comes against me, and he tells me, you're not going to make it. There's doubt and there's fear, but I can bring him back to my table and say, no, devil. I remember when you saved me. I remember how you brought me out of that miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and I remember when you healed my body, how you healed my mother, and how you touched my friends, and so I'm going to believe you. And no, I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to doubt. I'm going to trust in the Lord. You ever thought about how many times Jesus in the New Testament said, fear not? I mean, it's a bunch. I counted it one time, and I can't remember off the top of my head. It's over 30 times that Jesus said, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Like a broken record. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. And the reason he says that is because we fear. And it's natural to fear. But he's trying to get us to understand that, hey, I'm the one in control. I'm the one, the headquarters for this world. It's not in D.C., thank God. I mean, the controlling of our nation, it's not there. We serve a God who's still sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train still fills the temple, and he is still in control of mine and your life. I trust in Jesus. Victory over fear. Psalms 11, or 1, 18 and 6 says, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. Some of you need to memorize that. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. Some of you need to say it. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. I said, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. I'm choosing not to fear. There's a lot of reasons why I could fear, but I'm just going to choose not to fear. But why? Not out of just unrest. Rational. There's a reason why I'm not going to fear. Why? Because the Lord, he is on my side. Not the president, not just the pastor, not a preacher, not some friend, but the Lord, he is on my side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Trophy of peace, victory over fear. I want to show you one more. Trophy of triumph, victory over Satan. Victory over Satan. You know, that adversary, the devil, the Bible says that he is a liar, the father of all lies. And he's good at it. He's been doing it a long time. And if I listen to him, I start to believe his lies. Let's just be honest right here. How many of you ever just listened to his lies for a little while and started to believe him? Yeah, we do. But he is a liar. And the truth of the matter is that he has already been defeated. Right? And I know you know that. And I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But I came here tonight just to remind you of something that you already know. That one who is trying to destroy you, that one who is trying to get the upper hand in your life, he is the one who's already been defeated. He is the one who is already going down. I'm not going down. If I hold on to Christ and if I hold on to him, I'm not going down. No, I'm going up, because the devil, he has already been defeated. And so when the enemy comes against me, this is one of my favorite trophies that I like to show them, this trophy of triumph. And I just like to remind them, you know, you're coming against me and you're telling me all these lies. And you know, honestly, I started to listen to them for a little while, but now I'm coming back to my table and I'm reminded of all the things, God, that you've done for me. And so, devil, let me just show you what you've done for me. And I get down to this one in triumph, and I just got to have a little shouting match there for a little while, because he has already been defeated. And devil, you can come against me, and I know that you do, but I'm going to win. I'm going to be victorious. There's a home in heaven that Jesus is preparing for me, and I'm going to be there, and you're not. You ever had some good news and you told somebody, nanny, nanny, boo, boo? Yeah. I win, you lose, nanny, nanny, boo, boo. We did that as kids. We're on the winning side. I said, we're on the winning side. You see, from the very beginning of creation, Satan's fate was sealed. It tells us that in Genesis chapter 3, that Satan is going to be bruised in his head. And we find the culmination of that in Revelation chapter number 12, where the Bible says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You see, we're going to be part of that crowd that cries that I have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I love that song. It's an old one. I hope it never goes out of style. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. One of those verses says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Safely brought me safe this far, and will safely lead me home. You see, he's brought me a mighty long way. And the fact that I'm here tonight is proof that the devil hasn't got me, that I'm not destroyed, that I'm not going under. And so I can look to hit the devil and say, devil, I'm going to overcome. I'm going to make it. I'm going to be victorious. Victory over Satan. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm victorious through Christ. Through Christ. One more. Promise I'm done. I forgot my clock, so that's a bad thing for a preacher to do, right? Now I got you all looking at yours, don't I? That's my second mistake. This last one I want to talk to you is the most important one. This one is blank. Doesn't have anything on it. And I was praying. I didn't understand. I felt the Lord impress me to leave one blank, but I couldn't understand it. I didn't make sense. Why do you leave one blank? What's the point of that? I got stuff on all this other ones. Lord, why do I have to leave one blank? You know? Begin to pray about it. I went back to the text. And the text says, thou preparest a table before me. You see, it's futuristic. He didn't say, I prepared you a table. He is preparing a table. Or in other words, he's not done with your table yet. Or in other words, he says, I've got some more victories for you in store. If you'll hang on, if you won't give up, if you'll keep on going through this battle, if you'll keep on going through this night, this storm, that I've got some more victories that you're going to win. There's some more things. You see, the table isn't full. He's not done with your table. There's some good things on here, and I'm thankful for all the things that God has brought me through, all the times and trials and difficulties that God has brought me through. But I'm believing the longer I I live, that he's going to bring some more victories in my life, and he's going to bring some more trophies that I can put on the table and say, devil, when you come against me, when I'm in the enemy is surrounding me, I can bring him back to this table, and I can remind him of the victories that I have won through Jesus Christ. Sister Tricia, you come and help me if she's here on the piano. Are you there? Thank you. Stand with me all over the house. God is not done with you. The fact that you're here tonight in his presence, God desires to show himself alive to you tonight. It's been a long time since I've been here, and I have no idea of anything that you're facing. But I know a God in heaven who knows exactly where you're at, exactly what you're going through, and exactly the trophy that, A, you needed to be reminded of. Be reminded, you know what? It's not as bad off as it could be. You see, I could be in hell. It could be a lot worse than it is right now. I mean, I know it's bad sometimes, but you think about it. It could be a lot worse. I could be in a devil's hell. I could be dead and lost for eternity. So, A, to remind you, and B, to give you an understanding that he's not done with you yet. There's some victories that God wants to win in your life. There's some things that God wants to help you with right now, right here in this altar. And so you need victory in an area of your life. Step out right where you're at. You may have to ask somebody to excuse you, and you get out. But you need victory in some area. I don't know what it is, and nobody else needs to know, but you need to step out right now and say, I need victory. You step out. There's some stepping out right now. Everybody's looking. I know, and that's okay. Most importantly, God's looking. And he wants to see those who will respond. Because see, he's giving you an offer. He's giving you a moment, a space right here where you can respond to his word. And so he's looking for someone to step out. There's several that are coming. Will you step out, Mom? Dad, will you step out? I need some victory in this certain area of my life. God, I need a touch from you. You come right now. Hallelujah. Several are coming. Hallelujah. All that would, let's come. And maybe you didn't want to come with by yourself, but now as the church comes, I implore you, stick your hands up towards heaven. Reach out to the Lord tonight. He wants to give you a victory. Maybe he wants to remind you of victories that you've already won. In the midst of the battle, he wants you to know that you have victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. All that would, let's come. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for the victory that we have in you, Jesus. Oh, I have been victorious. Oh, through the blood of the Lamb and through the word of my testimony. Tonight, I'm believing victory. I'm believing victory is ahead. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All that would, call out to the Lord tonight. Call out to the Lord tonight. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh God, I thank you that you're mindful of us. You care about us. You've given us many victories in the past. Go ahead, church. Call out to him. He hears your cry. Oh, Jesus, 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 I'm claiming your victory, claiming your help, Lord. Jesus, 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 thank you, Lord, that you brought me a mighty long way. Hallelujah, hallelujah.